In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Come, Holy Spirit, come and touch your people. Come, wonderful Holy Spirit, come with the glory of God, that as I preach the Word of God, people would know how much they are loved and cared for. I'm looking at Mark 8. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said unto them, I have compassion on the multitude of people. Do you know today that the Lord has compassion on you? Do you know today that compassion means he suffers with you? He's already suffered for you. Do you know that today? That the Lord loves you and has compassion for you, especially for you in your weakness? Do you know that today? We are living in the year of mercy. Oh, he has mercy and compassion for you. Do you know it today? Do you know it today? I don't know what you're going through, but everyone's going through something. And the Lord says, I have compassion on you. I have mercy on you. I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. 3 days listening to Jesus preach. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? Now this is interesting because the Lord already has multiplied bread at another place. And you know, they really are stupid. They're just like us. We don't remember what God has done. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and broke and gave it to his disciples as to set before them, and they did set before the people. They had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded them to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up all the broken pieces with 7 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 4,000. That's 4,000 men, not counting the women, not counting the children. And he sent them away. Now they could go because they filled their stomachs, and they can go because they've come from a long distance. Now they can go home. And straightway he entered into the ship with his disciples and came to the part called Dalmanutha. You know, the Lord tells us to pray for our daily bread. He means that. He's giving his daily bread to these people. This is very interesting. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question Jesus, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And Jesus sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why do this generation seek after a sign? Truly, truly, I say to you, there shall be no sign given unto this generation. Why? Because there's no faith. There's no faith. These Pharisees have no faith in Jesus. They just want to see some magic. Jesus isn't into magic. He's into love. He's into loving the people that are sick. He's into healing. He's into destroying the works of the devil. And he left them and entered into the ship again and departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. These disciples are just like us. They had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than 1 loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. They are so thick, the poor people. But you know what? We're the same way. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Perceive you not, or do you not understand? Have your hearts become hardened? Have you eyes but don't see? Have you ears but don't hear? Do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves among 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments did you take up? They said unto him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, 7 loaves among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? They said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? Let me just tell you, this is very interesting because it is so important that we remember what God has done for us, that we not forget what God has done for us. And I'm taking Psalm 136 and see the works of God, recalling his marvelous deeds. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his love endures forever. Who alone has wrought marvelous works, for his love endures forever. Whose wisdom it was that made the sky, for his love endures forever. Who fixed the earth firmly on the seas, for his love endures forever. It was he who made the great lights, for his love endures forever. The sun to rule in the day, for his love endures forever. The moon and the stars in the night, for his love endures forever. The firstborn of the Egyptians he smote, for his love endures forever. He brought Israel out of their midst. You see, they're recalling the things of God, for his love endures forever. With an arm outstretched with power in his hand, for his love endures forever. He divided the Red Sea in two, for his love endures forever. He made Israel pass through the midst, for his love endures forever. He flung Pharaoh into the force of the sea, for his love endures forever. Through the desert he led his people, for his love endures forever. Nations in their greatness he struck, for his love endures forever. Kings in their splendor he slew, for his love endures forever. You see, Psalm 136 remembers the things that God did. And what God did before, he can do it again. The disciples have forgotten the things of God, that there has been multiplication of bread and fish. They should have been thinking what the Lord had already done. But they're worried because they only have one loaf of bread. Maybe you're worried today. Maybe you're worried today. Well, you know what? I'll tell you the truth. This morning, I was worried. I haven't been worried in many, many years. I mean worried, as far as I can remember. But maybe I have been. I don't know. But I had to go on to take a test today, and I started to obsess about the test in the middle of the night. You know, I was acting like an atheist. I forgot what God had done. I forgot what God wanted to do. I was acting like an atheist because, you know, God worked before and God can work again. And that's just real. Just real. Let's continue. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why do you reason among yourselves? Do you perceive not, neither do you understand? Has your heart become hardened? Do you have eyes and you don't see? Do you have ears and you don't hear? Do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said unto him, 12. And when the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? They said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that you still don't understand, because they had forgotten. The only thing they were looking at was the one loaf of bread in the boat. They had forgotten what Jesus had just done in the days before they're taking this trip. And it's easy to forget, especially if you get anxious. You start thinking that God doesn't care for me. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's what we have to put at the feet of Jesus. All the lies and all the fears that we have. Jesus heals a blind man. And he came to Bethsaida, and they, being a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. Why did he lead him out of the town? Because the people had no faith there. He wanted to be alone with the man because he had faith, and the people didn't have faith there. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men, but they look like trees walking. So this tells you that he once had sight because he knows what a tree looks like. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go down into the town, nor tell it to anyone in the town. Why? Because the great miracle is going to take place on the cross, the forgiveness of our sins. But you know, what did they do? They went in town and started to share it with everybody. The blind man said, I can see. He opened my eyes. I once saw like trees, but then he prayed again, and I could see. I could see clearly now. Beautiful. It's beautiful. And Jesus went out to the district with his disciples to the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, who do men say that I am? And they answered, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others say one of the prophets. But he said to them, who do you say that I am? That's an important question to answer. Who do you say that Jesus is? Not who do I say, but who do you say that Jesus is? I remember teaching the sixth grade class so many years ago, 40 years ago, and I'm telling you, I said, this is the most important question you will ever answer. Who do you think, or who do you say that Jesus is? You know, some people say he's a miracle worker. That's true. Some people say he's a healer. That's true. But he's the Lord. He's the Savior. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But he said unto them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said unto him, you are the Christ, the Messiah. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. Why? Because of the cross, that's going to be the greatest miracle. Then he foretells his death. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he spoke that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Peter says, no, you're not going to die. You can't die. We've got to take this show on the road. Peter rebuked Jesus. And when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter, saying, get behind me, Satan, for you see not the things that are of God, but the things that are of men. First, Peter tells him, you're the Messiah. Then Peter rebukes Jesus, you can't die. When we look at the 13th chapter of St. John, Jesus says to Peter, if I do not wash you, you have no part in me. And he's not talking about washing feet. He's talking about washing Peter with the blood of the Lamb on the cross. If I do not wash you with the blood, you have no part in me. Were you ever washed with the blood of Jesus? In baptism, yes. But what about now? What about now? It's been so many years since your baptism. Do you believe in Jesus? Have you given him your life? Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? Are you one of the people that just want to see the wonderful things that Jesus does, but the greatest thing that he did was die, buried, and rose from the dead? That's the greatest thing that Jesus did, because he saved us from hell. And I spoke that way to the children yesterday, that Jesus saved us from hell. People don't want to even think about hell, but Jesus saved us from hell. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and by the chief priests. And Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, for you know the things of men and not the things of God." And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, "Whosoever will come after me must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Deny yourself. Deny yourself from gossip. Deny yourself from looking at images on the internet. Deny yourself by speaking badly about people. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's sake, the same shall save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What does it profit a man if he has $1 billion but loses his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Are you ashamed of Jesus? Are you ashamed of Jesus? I tell you, I don't want to be ashamed of Jesus. I'm here talking about Jesus, talking about his presence, talking about his mercy, talking about his compassion, talking about his multiplication, talking about the disciples didn't remember. Are you ashamed of Jesus? If you're ashamed of Jesus, he will be ashamed of you. I remember telling you the story of Betty Foley. It was Good Friday, and she was going to Boston, probably to St. Anthony's Shrine, for the services. And she said in the morning, "I do not want to be like Judas and Peter, who denied you and who forsook you." Well, she's in the train, and she was a perfect lady, a perfect lady. She was a nurse, and now she had retired, but she was a perfect lady. And this man starts preaching in the train that she's in. And everybody's kind of looking down in their newspaper because they're ashamed. Then he points to Betty and says, "What do you say of Jesus?" She said, "Jesus Christ is Lord." And she screamed it out. She didn't do what Judas did. She didn't do what Peter did. She was a witness of Jesus Christ. And therefore the Lord says, "I will be with you. You deny me, I deny you. You proclaim me, I proclaim you to the Father and to the angels." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is so simple. It's so simple that most people miss it. It's so simple that most people miss it. And he said unto them, "Truly, truly, I say unto you," chapter 9, "that there are some here who are standing here who will not taste death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power." Let's see if we see that. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, and led them by themselves up a high mountain apart, and he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became shining, exceedingly white as snow, so that no bleacher on earth could make them that white. And there appeared unto them Elijah and Moses. Why Elijah and Moses? Why not Jeremiah and Isaiah? Elijah represents the prophets. Moses represents the law. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. So they were talking. What were they talking about? They were talking about his departure, going to Jerusalem. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tents, three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And he did not know what to say, for he was very afraid. Let me just tell you, he was so scared. But we can tell when this happened. This happened in the fall during the Feast of Tabernacles. So Peter wants to make tabernacles for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. And poor Peter, his knees are knocking because he sees the glory of God. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them. Hallelujah. It was the same cloud that led them through the desert during the day. It was the same cloud that led them through the desert during the day. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son. Hear him. That's the Father speaking. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. What do you say about Jesus? Is he your brother? Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? Is he your healer? Is he your deliverer? What do you say of Jesus? Do you remember the things that Jesus did in your life? Psalm 136 recounts the things that God did for the Israelites. Do you remember the things that God did for you? Oh, it's so easy to forget when we're feeling down and out. It's so easy to forget. But you know, we've got to recall them out loud and say, Lord, you woke me up one night when I was desperate, and you showed me that my mother would be healed or wouldn't be healed, but I completely surrendered it into your hands, and we got the right doctor, and my mother was healed. Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, you opened for us the way to the cenacle. You opened to us the way to the cenacle. When Sister Rita Drinkwater answered the phone, she said, We haven't decided what we're going to do with the cenacle for the fall. Would you people like to come and pray there? And we went on a Wednesday. Oh, God knows how to do things. He had me talk to the right person. And we were at the cenacle for years and years and years. And suddenly when he had looked round about, he saw no man anymore, only Jesus with themselves. I'm going to tell you, once you see Jesus, you don't have to see Moses and Elijah. But Moses and Elijah testified to Jesus. What have we learned today? Well, some of the most important things are God has compassion on you. God has mercy on you. You say, I don't believe it. Then look at the cross. Look at the crucified Jesus and say, God has compassion on me. God has mercy on me. Oh yes, look at the crucified Jesus, the risen Savior with the holes in his hands, that Jesus Christ has compassion on you. Yes, what else did we learn today? We do not want to seek a sign for the very reason of seeking a sign. We want to remember the things that Jesus did for us. We want to recount the things that Jesus did for us. We want to tell people of the things that Jesus did for us. I remember one person in the car many years ago that wanted me to do something bad, and I said to him, I'm a Christian. I can't do that. I'm a Christian. I'm a Catholic. I can't do that. Never saw the person again. Never saw the person again. Why? Because I stood up and I wasn't ashamed of Jesus. Are you ashamed of Jesus? My Lord, if you're ashamed of him, he's going to be ashamed of you on the last day. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I have about 25 seconds. I want to ask you to help us to put these programs on. It takes a lot of money. When I'm on WROL and WECE, that's over $100,000 a year. I need your help. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Or you can go to the internet, www.inseason.net, inseason.net, and you can leave money on PayPal. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.